KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A new lawsuit has been filed against the State Redistricting Board, and this time it's by the Alaska Democratic Party. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports that in a couple of ways, the redistricting process is sort of like solving a Rubik's Cube. It can be really frustrating, and every time you try to fix a part, you run the risk of messing up something else. From the perspective of the Alaska Democratic Party, the map used for the last election was
outrageous.
But the new version,
this one is just bad.
Joe McKinnon is the party's attorney. He says that while the redistricting board's newest map solves some constitutional problems, it creates a few others. That's why the party, along with Katie Hurley and Warren Coe, filed a lawsuit against the board on Tuesday. There's already another group based in Fairbanks that's suing the board for different reasons concerning the Senate pairings of certain districts, and it's possible this new lawsuit could be rolled in with that one. McKinnon says his clients have a handful of concerns with the new map. They think the board, which is mostly made up of Republicans, took extra voters from the conservative Matsu region to make other seats more secure for their party.
The Matsu has exactly enough population for 5 seats, and yet the board only put 4 seats within the borough and then split the other population, putting part in with Valdez and part in with Anchorage.
McKinnon also says the state's rural districts should have better drawn, they should have been better drawn to match Native corporation boundaries. Now McKinnon wants the courts to say the redistricting board has had enough chances to produce a constitutional map.
The remedy we want is for the court to draw the final map, to appoint a master.
Michael White is the redistricting board's attorney, and he thinks the lawsuit is being brought more for political reasons than constitutional ones. White says he was surprised that the Democrats filed their own suit against the redistricting board, and that he doesn't think that their case has any merit. When it comes to the Matsu region, he says the decision to take some population from that area was necessary to pad surrounding districts that didn't have enough voters.
It isn't just a simple matter of let's draw this in isolation. The ripple effect that you have whenever you move even a single person, you start moving several hundred people.
The redistricting board is arguing that all legal challenges against their map be dismissed. The lawsuits are being heard on an expedited basis in an effort to finalize the state's political boundaries before the 2014 election, and parties to a lawsuit are hoping for a decision from the Superior Court this fall. It's been 3 years since the redistricting process first started. A new Centers for Disease Control report says Alaskans pay a heavy price for heavy drinking of alcohol. The CDC analyzed costs in each state associated with heavy drinking. Alaska has the distinction of paying the most for health care bills, car crashes, and other issues related to alcohol, nearly $735 million per year and $1,096 per person. Municipalities, state government, and federal money pays 2/5 of that amount. Excessive drinking in the study includes binge drinking, 4 drinks for women and 5 for men in one sitting. It's also defined as women averaging a drink or more per day, men averaging 2 drinks per day, underage drinking, and drinking by pregnant women. Utah and West Virginia had the lowest state costs. Nome will be featured in the Alaska episode of Growing Native, an upcoming public television series about Native people reclaiming traditional foodways. The series is directed by award-winning Cheyenne and Arapaho filmmaker Chris Eyre, the director of the critically acclaimed 1998 film Smoke Signals. Vision Maker Media, a Nebraskan production company that films Native stories for public broadcasting, is producing the show. Eyre and his crew came to Nome a few weeks ago to film Marjorie Tabone and her family.
Me and my family decided to do is to bring them out to our traditional camp that's at Cape Nome, 12 miles out, and bring them berry picking. We took out the salmon berries, and we managed to pick a few and make some Eskimo ice cream out of it. We also picked some greens, and we attempted to go salmon fishing, but we kind of got skunked.
Blue Tarpolici is the associate producer of Growing Native. He says the series aims to address big issues like climate change, wellness, and human rights through a simple formula, sharing stories of Native people throughout the country who are practicing traditional ways of harvesting and eating food.
Native Americans, wherever they are, whether they're in their original communities or whether they were removed in a place like Oklahoma, they value those resources and they are knowledge bearers. So you can utilize them as a living resource and try to find out, you know, how is this region, how should it be utilized, I guess, in its best sense.
The public television series will have 7 episodes. Each focuses on a different region of America. 4 other communities will be featured in the Alaska episode of Growing Native. Blue says the crew was particularly fascinated by the community of Nome and its history.
In Nome, to the outsider, you see the place and it almost has this poverty-stricken kind of look. The buildings are, you know, they've been ravaged by the cold and the elements and, you know, the history of the place and its history with gold and people getting its resources. We thought that that was really interesting because Marjorie and her family mined the place for a different kind of resource and the natural resources of the greens and the berries and the wildlife.
Blue says the crew was moved by the strength of the Nome's Native community.
And that was something that Chris said really hit home with him, was seeing how Marjorie and her family interacted and how they kept each other's spirits up and were responsible to one another. And that's something that I think families around the country need to hear, not just Native families, but, you know, anyone. They need to see that these communities are strong and they're proud of who they are and proud of where they come from.
Growing Native is shooting for a fall 2014 release to National Public Television. To hear more, listen to Profiles after this newscast and the weather, also after the 6 p.m. weather. An Alaska volcano is again oozing lava into its ice-filled caldera, but there's no cause for alarm for nearby residents. Scientists at the Alaska Volcano Observatory say seismic activity and satellite imagery of a volcano in the Aleutian Islands was again emitting a low-level lava flow after a week's hiatus. There have been a few short ash plumes since the volcano began erupting in June. The largest of those happened Monday, with a plume of up to 12,000 feet before it quickly dissipated. The volcano is located to the community of Perryville, about 20 miles away. Timothy Cosbrook, a local official, says the community was socked in by clouds and fog yesterday, and the volcano was not visible. The price of gold in New York is not available at this time. A look at Alaska Airlines Flight 151. It landed in Nome at 8:57, is expected to depart to Anchorage at 9:42. It's unofficially 51 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.